Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
I was really happy when Shane wanted to do it because I know they've got a lot of good players, the wide receivers. I mean, their offensive line is really good. They got a great back. When you can play against really top-notch players like that that are not your own guys, it's valuable. It's like a preseason game in that sense for the ones. I think good. I mean, Andrew's had a really good camp kind of all the way through. Really impressed with the way he's played. He's a pro. Very physical, very strong guy. Ben had a slow start to camp, but once we put the pads on it, he accelerated and has done well. So, yeah, I think they're both playing really well. We're not finished. I mean, you know, you get evaluated through the whole season when you're younger. You know, you got to keep it going anyway, but I like the way those guys are playing. Well, the same message as before is, like, we want to play it like it's a game. And we did 99% of the time, but we didn't on that play. It's like Shane and I were talking afterwards. It's always special teams. And usually it's the Gunners. It should be a learning experience opportunity for our team, too. Yeah, it's one of those camp deals. Just hold them out of this one. Try not to make anything more of a problem than it needs to be.
John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, yesterday. We'll work back to front. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band. Kyle Hamilton. Not at practice yesterday, joint against the Colts. He left on Monday. I mean, I was there. You were there.
Yeah.
I don't remember him leaving.
I don't either.
I don't know what happened to him, which caused the absence, but apparently it was a groin-ish issue. We just heard the head coach say, you know, general camp stuff. So, leaves in a pretty low-key practice on Monday. Mm-hmm. And misses a high-level practice on Tuesday. No way trying to overblow this into something. It's not. But just wondering, where the hell was he?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked when people said he got hurt the day before, you know, tweaked his groin. Like, you know, I mean, like you said, Bob, we were there. There wasn't really much full-speed stuff going on. So yeah, I don't know when it happened. I just know he wasn't there yesterday, and it would have been good work for him, you know, with Tyler Warren, who's a good tight end for them. So yeah, that was kind of disappointing. Kane got a lot of reps in his place, Bob, and I thought struggled some, took some bad angles, missed a tackle, you know, because he came too quick. He didn't break down. You know, so it was kind of a learning experience for Kane. And that's next man up kind of thing. It'll be good film for him. And Bob, I mean, when at the end of practice, I thought, I was talking to one of the PR people for the Ravens, and I thought Harbaugh's probably be a little disappointed. Because watching the whole thing, because the way it started out, they started out with one-on-ones, and I was watching the offense, wide receivers versus their DBs, and the Ravens kicked the crap out. I mean, the Ravens receivers, I mean, they couldn't cover them. They were separating from them, doing all kinds of stuff, which was pretty impressive. But it got inconsistent as we went along, and then the finality with the two-minute drill with two interceptions at the end, it was like kind of disappointing, I think.
So a middling offense with highs and lows.
Yes, no doubt. Like the first red zone, Bob, 3 for 3. First group went down, bam. You know, and just thought Lamar was kind of off a little bit. The O-line was kind of watching them in the one-on-one drills. Ronnie was all right. Otherwise, none of them were great, especially the two guards with Cleveland and Falele. You know, I was like, eh. You know, and then there was a lot of seepage in their pass protection and stuff yesterday.
Also heard from John Harbaugh talking about the fight.
Yeah.
And how it kind of escalated. And he said, Vinny, you were there, You know, the Gunners getting into things. And then you have, which is frowned upon in all sports, basketball, because you get fined for doing this, you know, joining the melee and then throwing some unnecessary haymakers. And all right, we get it. You got your teams back, et cetera, et cetera. It's August 5th. It's not like it's going to turn into Ron Burgundy when they had the big brawl with the media people with pitchforks and such, where that escalated quickly. So what the hell was Wiggins thinking, which led to him getting cundiped off the field?
Because, Bob, it's punt return drill, basically, you know, and the guy's catching it, and the Gunners are coming down, so they're blocking their guys and stuff, you know, and one kind of gets thrown off or whatever, so the Ravens dude comes back, and they're kind of pushing, and all of a sudden, here comes a Ravens dude off the sideline just throwing haymakers, and it was Wiggins. I mean, you know, it was totally idiotic.
Yes.
You know, so, yeah, you can do that in a game. You know, I mean, you're the starting corner, and you're getting tossed out of the game. I mean, it was stupid.
I mean, and what are you trying to prove? Like you're a badass or whatever.
You're going
to
break your hand.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously John Harbaugh not real happy with that turn of events. And I don't think getting chippy and maybe a tussle or two where it's just wrestling around is not frowned upon. But once you start throwing haymakers and players are now becomes kind of a benches clearing thing.
Oh, yeah. On, there was 180 guys. Well, the injured guys weren't there. So say there was 160 guys in the melee. Right. Just standing around doing not, you know.
So after the fact, you know, give us an idea maybe of what John Harbaugh or anybody, Chuck Pagano, Zach Orr, they say to Nate Wiggins after, I'm guessing, what the bleep are you thinking here?
Yeah, and you know, and Harb's mentioned it, you know, in the press conference. It's a learning experience, you know, and especially, you know, it's a good learning experience because they'll be able to talk to the team and show him walking, you know, like the walk of shame right. kind of thing up to the locker room. That, listen, you do this in a game, you know, it's gonna cost, number one, it's going to cost the team. And then number two, you're going to get fined, you know, afterwards anyhow. So it is stupid to do that. And, you know, I think, it's better that it happens now than in a regular season game. So now, you know, there's no excuse to be doing anything like that because you've learned from it.
And I'm guessing a Marlon Humphrey would even pull him aside. And hey, come on, man.
I would think
joint practice.
Roquan, Marlon, sure. Chuck Pagano. I think all of them will, you know, talk to him. And he probably, when he got in the locker room after, he probably, what the hell was I thinking?
Also heard here on Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan Woman Crush Wednesday, Bob, Eddie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. What's happening, everybody? Voorhees versus Cleveland. Cleveland versus Voorhees. Voorhees the starter. And you heard John Harbaugh say, hey, Voorhees has done nothing to lose his grip on the top spot there next to Ronnie Stanley. But since the pads came on, Cleveland has started to make somewhat of an impression to the coaching staff. So how was it rolling yesterday? Was it 66 next to Ronnie and in between Linderbaum? Or
they
was
rotated.
It,
they just kept they were it. Rotating. And I thought both had some struggles, you know. The thing why when Ben Cleveland puts the pads on, because he's such a big guy. I mean, what do you think, Bob? What, 6'6"? Like 350?
He is a huge person.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's hard to get around him, you know, and when you're not with pads on, it becomes more of an athletic deal, and that's not up his alley. So he's better when the pads come on. I see that Voorhees will be – Voorhees is a better athlete. He's strong. He's got punch. Just the stunts and stuff and the – you know, because when you're twisting or when they're twisting and stunting on defense – you know, you're engaged with one guy, you know, and you're helping out, and then you got to come back. A lot of times when they come back, you know, fundamentally they get their shoulders turned the wrong way, and then they get beat. So that was some of the issues. Just the thing about it, Bob, is if your coach is going in, this is awesome film to show your players because it's the first time you've gone against anybody. So there's probably a lot of bad, there's a lot of good, and there's a lot of stuff that you can learn from that that's going to help them down the road.
Also heard John Harbaugh real quick talking about, and you he mentioned Shane Steichen, head coach of the Colts. Hey, let's your seven against my seven. Let's see how things are rolling here, and good work for both sides. But as you said, Vinny, you know, the Colts front seven appeared to get a little advantage. And from what I was reading, again, just reading, their offense, their wide receivers are kind of doing some damage against that Ravens secondary.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't over there on the defensive field right away, but talking to people that were over there, Bob, I mean, the Ravens had a hard time stopping the run early on. And Wiggins got beat on a deep ball. Maybe he was frustrated with that. That was maybe part of why, Bob, he was throwing haymakers, but he got a beat on a deep ball. It seemed like the defense got better as the practice went along. And to me, the offense kind of went the other way as the practice went along.
And when we come back, we'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Orioles lose last night. 5-0 to the Phillies. They shut out for the 12th time this season. 5 singles. 2 of them, Jordan Westberg. Dean Kramer wasn't horrible, but, you know, when you get zero run support, your chances of winning are pretty slim unless you yourself are throwing a shutout. 12:35 first pitch today against the Phillies. I do have Philadelphia's lineup, which we'll share with you. Tyler O'Neill, he hurt his wrist, grabbed the fence, tracking a fly ball, and I think it was Stott hit it. And I guess it got caught. Then he leaves the game, fourth inning, and we'll see. Ranger Suarez on the hill today, lefty, tough lefty, but he's left-handed, so Tyler O'Neill should be in the starting lineup. If he is not, then we start to speculate as to what his status will be moving forward. Orioles are off tomorrow, then the A's come to town. Hall of Fame weekend, by the way, for the Birds of Baltimore. And down on the farm, and Vinny, you were out at a one-winning drop, and me and Nolan were talking, especially when it comes to Beavers and Basayo, who both homered yesterday, by the way, so did Ryan Mountcastle. Two words I never want to hear again. Service time.
Yeah.
Service time. How about there? I can't even come up with something clever.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Since the All-Star break, been shut out twice in that process. So as they continue to fade, we'll continue to complain. I didn't think that we'd be sitting here for 4 months watching the Orioles flounder and irrelevance.
Total shock.
They peaked in the opening series. They peaked on opening day when they blasted all them home runs and they bashed away at the team that's now in first place in the American League East. Orioles 15 games behind them. Offseason, incredibly important for Mike Elias. But we have plenty of time to get into that, and we will. But yesterday, quietly into the Philadelphia night.
Bob Wise.
Kramer competed.
One inning he struck.
Yeah.
But he pitched.
But the bats outside of Westberg, Adley, made some hard contact. I'm not saying they're not trying, obviously. But, man, we thought the offense was starting to percolate because everybody's back. And since that 8-run output against Toronto, again, they wound up losing. Then they traded Cedric and O'Hearn. They've been rather quiet since then. Gunner saved him with the game-winning homer on Saturday against the Cubs.
And Gunner's been playing unbelievable.
Great defense. For those questioning his abilities, and I know the nerd stats aren't giving him high marks, but over 170 chances without an error, making barehanded plays in the hole, the cannon arm. I mean, come on. The guy's going to be an MVP dude before it's all said and done. It's not going to be this year, but the Orioles as a team, not what we expected. But getting back to the Ravens and John Harbaugh's comments, the good work. Explain what the good work is, because Indy's playing their starters too. Mm-hmm. Like tomorrow, you're going to see the exact opposite of that in regards to Richard. We'll get to Richardson and Jones here in a minute and Taylor and all that. But tomorrow you're going to see second, third stringers. But yesterday, what was the good work that the Ravens put in, and what may have been like, okay, this needs to be corrected before Buffalo.
Well, I think the thing was they scripted for, because of what you just said about tomorrow night is going to be all the backups and stuff. The ones got 60% of all the plays, offensively and defensively, which is, that's great work because it's good versus good. And it was always ones on ones. So you're getting great work. And what it is, you know, you're playing against somebody different, different schemes, different people. You don't know it. So it's a really good learning experience. It'll be awesome film for each individual and for each offensive group and defensive group. So I think that's a big thing. And how do we get better? What did we learn from this? I'm sure when they watch the film's awesome to learn from. Because like I said, there's a lot of bad and there's a lot of good. You know, and special teams were not great either, Bob, in some cases. I mean, they gave up a long touchdown run on a kickoff return because the outside guy got his arm hooked. And if you're the outside guy on the kickoff team, your responsibility is you got to be wider than the widest. You've got to protect the outside. Keep that outside arm, outside leg free. You cannot get hooked. He got hooked, and bam, out the gate. And Wester looked like he had a punt return, would have gone the distance. So that was good work. So for special teams, Bob, it's really the first time you've done it live. You know, so you know there's going to be some screw-ups in there and stuff. So, all right, this is going to be great film, and we're going to find out who can do it, who can't do it kind of thing. Because what I kind of found interesting, you know, on the kickoff coverage, Adisa Isaac was on the first team. Jabba was on the third. And I'm going, if they're keeping five, does that tell me something? You know? So I think those were good learning experiences. And being able to do all the different periods, you know, like first downs, run period. They did run periods. You know, they did 7-on-7. They did goal line, you know, red zone stuff, which was great because the Ravens came out, bam, 3 for 3. 3 touchdowns with the first group. Then the second time, wasn't so good. Okay, you know, what do we got to do? You know, and then we have illegal formations. What's the problems there? So what you're doing a lot is making a lot of corrections because we're 5 weeks away, and this is still part of the process because our guys aren't playing in a preseason game for the starters, and this is it for the starters, you know. And then when they go play Washington, that's basically preseason game number 2 for them, and then it's Buffalo. Because, Bob, they were doing some live tackling when it wasn't the starters, like the 2s and 3s in there.
Tagging to the ground and everything?
Yeah, because I saw Keaton Mitchell get tackled to the ground and Ali get tackled to the ground, you know. And, you know, it's kind of hard, really, for the O-line because, you know, in the run period, because defense knows it's run period, and you're really going like a couple steps and then stopping. So it was hard, but there was one play, Derrick Henry probably would have gone the distance. So there was, like I said, there is some really good stuff, but there's a lot of correctable stuff that they're going to have to learn. But that's fine because we're not getting ready for Buffalo this week.
Why even Monday? A lot of false starts and illegal formations. Why still these
they're working on
issues that they're trying to straighten out, which was problematic for them in 2024.
Well, two of the penalties, Bob, were on one of the tight ends that just was there 2 days ago. So that wasn't that big a deal because they're working on the cadence, you know, because they're and we heard Todd Monken explain it yet 2 days ago or whatever. They do a lot of shifting. I think Lamar said it yesterday too. They do a lot of shifting. They do a lot of adjusting. They're, you know, because they're trying, you know, to dictate to the defense, not let the defense dictate to them. So you just can't sit and be vanilla and they'll be like, oh, you know, this is it. No, you got to shift. You got to move. And then the snap counts change, you know, and then as a receiver, trust me, it's difficult because you line up there. All right, I got to be off the ball. All right, okay, when I shift over, then I got to be on the ball. Then is that guy off the ball? You know, and you kind of get confused as a receiver. So I think that's some of the things that they're working through right now.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. You want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Any questions for Vinny about what he saw yesterday, joint practice against the Colts? We'll talk about Indy a little bit and what their potential could possibly be in the AFC South, which is obviously Houston's division to lose right now, I would think. Even though Jacksonville, who knows, they got a new coach and all the fun stuff that's going on with that. If you want to get in, now's your chance. Want to rag on the Orioles going quietly against Philadelphia. 5-0 final score in favor of the Phillies. Tawan Walker was great last night for them. Kepler and Marsh go deep. Orioles, they hit no home runs. They've been shut out 12 times here in 2025. This was an offense that last year was one of the most prolific in baseball. They built up so much equity in the first half of the 24th season offensively. Even as bad as they were in the second half, they still finished in the top five in a bunch of categories. I don't think they're finishing in the top five in any, maybe the bottom five, in any category. We can get into that and more. Cordell Woolen, he'll be joining us, talk about what he saw yesterday at camp and what he's seen all camp long. Walk through today, then the preseason opener tomorrow. We'll talk about Tyler Loop, too, because I guess tomorrow things get real.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Cool for him. Everybody buckle up. Trevor Rogers on the hill for the Orioles. Tough luck loser Friday against Cubs. 4-2-1-44. Trey Turner, shortstop. Schwarbsy. You don't think he'd rake at Camden Yards, free agent after the season?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Come on. Rubenstein, you ready to rock? Elias, you ready? What do you think? I'd love that.
Oh, man.
Come on.
That would send a good message.
How many stars or bronze baseballs out there on Utah Street he would put? Bryce Harper, first base, Castellanos, right field. Harrison Bader, center. Kemp's at third. Sosa, second. Wilson, left. Marshawn is behind the plate. Ranger Suarez, tough lefty, on the hill for the Phillies. Before we get to the phones, let me hit refresh one more time. No Orioles lineup just yet. I guess we're waiting to see whether or not Tyler O'Neill's going to be in it. Anywho, Ravens were out of practice yesterday. A joint one at that. Against the Colts, and mixed results. We'll elaborate as the show goes on. Talk about it with Cordell, top of the hour. But let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
What's up, fellas? How y'all been, man?
Wonderful.
Right. Where you been? We're here.
I've been listening to you and all the guys laughing and learning. But I just heard through the grapevine that Todd Monken's going to start using my plays, man. My formation. Hey, Benny, remember me talking about a pro set with Henry and Keith Mitchell, did you hear him talk about maybe using that?
I think when you've got good players and you got guys that can do certain things, you know, you're going to have – Keith Mitchell's going to have some packages for him. I mean, because he's done something at every practice that you kind of go, wow.
Yeah, I'm even looking at Justin and Keaton in a pro set in the backfield, one going motion. You know, that eye candy can really disrupt a defense when they get to looking in the backfield, and you can always slip somebody behind them. So I'm going to designate that play the Woodbury, okay, y'all?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Woodbury.
you get what I'm saying, Bob, right?
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Joe.
Yeah, that's all in Woodbury, y'all, man. We should see some stuff that we ain't seen in the last 2 years, and it's all about matchups. Who's on the field? And I heard you talking about, like, when they get those procedures, like, who steps up on the line that somebody has to step back. Mm-hmm. See, they got to get it together, man. They got to be like the Rockettes. They got to be in sync, man. And when they can get it like that, with no turnovers and no penalties, it should go all the way this year. Take it easy, brother.
All right, Joe, thanks for the call. Wouldn't it be wild if Lamar's doing his cadence, and he goes, Woodbury, Woodbury, like Peyton does with the Omahas and all that. But to his point, the pro set. It split backfield, I guess, is what that was back in the day.
I think if we see two backs, it'll be Ricard and Henry, or Ricard and whoever. You know, I think that's the two back set that we'll probably see more of, because Ricard's such a good blocker.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to DC. It's Darren. Darren, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's everybody feeling?
All good. Right. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing okay, man. Doing all right. Hey, a couple of things. It's kind of a light time and stuff. I know everybody's giving the Ravens and so a little bit of a hard time for an uneven practice, but that's what practice is for. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to get beat. You figure it out and learn from it. But I wanted to take off a little bit on the previous caller. And this is more about the team embracing being the villain, being the bad guy. So let me set this up. The first episode of Hard Knocks came out last night with the Bills, and they are making the Bills to be the all-American team that everybody loves, complete with everybody's wife, everybody's family, everybody's wholesome and good. The Ravens just need to embrace that villain, go up there and destroy these guys in week one. Of note, target Tre'Davious White. Yeah, did he say anything negative about the Ravens? No, but I think he's been ungrateful from the standpoint that they gave him a shot when the Rams, you know, basically were done with him because he still was recovering. And because he played well, and they kind of alluded to this, and he played pretty well in the playoff game, they felt like he was worthy to bring back. I want to target this guy, teach him a little bit of a lesson and stuff, but I do want him to do well, not just against the Ravens, because I do think overall, you know, for the man to tear his knee up, and at one point, and Vinny, you would know this better than me, he may have been, you know, arguably one of the best corners in the league and stuff. The final thing I'll say is this, and this is to all the fans, either get on board or get out. And I remember years ago, Bobby, you remember this back from our NST days, there was this guy that would call in that was a Bengals, or it became a Bengals fan. He was a Ravens fan, but he wanted to be a Carson Palmer fan because it was about offense. We don't have time for that this year. Either with us or you're not, and that's it. So you guys take care.
All right, Darren, thanks for the call. And as we saw last year, at least between those two teams in this era, Ravens can match Cincinnati point for point offensively in the Carson Palmer years way back when. And Darren, I vaguely remember that dude. I don't remember his name. I apologize. But I think most people, Ravens fans, are on board.
No doubt.
It's just, he's waiting for something bad to happen, because it's in our DNA as fans is to bitch and complain about something.
I mean, when you really look at it, I mean, they played the Bills down here, blew them out. They went up there and beat themselves. You know, they lost by 2 points and turned it over 3 times. So, and, you know, you say to yourself, what would happen if this game would have been in Baltimore? I mean, that's why. Losing to what were they then?
They're Vegas, still Vegas.
Vegas. Yes. Losing to Vegas and losing to Cleveland. Those kind of games, you know, that you lose early, it doesn't really matter. It does. Kind of comes back to haunt you.
And that crap loss at Pittsburgh and all of that stuff. And trying to get over that hump. Now, I don't want to turn this into a narrative about how the Ravens' playoff failures are something that we discuss. They're not that dominant at home in the postseason.
No.
Historically, not that dominant. They won a couple of games, but they had the AFC Championship game here for the first time since the Colts and Raiders. They were favored. And what, 4 and 4 or 5, maybe? They were pretty decent beyond field goal favorites, and they laid an egg. So, I don't know. But to your point, instead of freezing in, Buffalo or Arrowhead, you'll freeze in Baltimore.
Right. And the biggest thing is your best players got to play their best. That's what they got to do in the playoffs.
Any questions for Vinny about yesterday? Give us a call at 410-583-1057. We'll talk about the Orioles. We can do that, too. Coming up at 12:35, taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Series finale. Phillies are looking for the sweep. Orioles looking for their first win since Saturday. It's going to be all about Trevor Rogers, who's been great. This guy's been outstanding this season. Just needs a little run support, as Dean Kramer was probably going, hey, where are all these crooked numbers I've seen? Week 2 of the NFL season, Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band, Bob Hattie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan. So Charlie Kohler, And I saw the highlights of him taking it down the sideline. Yeah. Looking like Dave Casper doing what he had to do there.
I thought Charlie Kohler was probably the MVP of the offense. I thought Charlie Kohler had a hell of a day. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, like when Andrews went down last year, Bob, and likely got to play his spot, and all of a sudden he's, you know, making a lot of plays, catching balls. All right? Likely goes down, and then Kohler's now in that position and shows what he can do. He's taking advantage of that opportunity, which I thought yesterday. I said, damn, is that 88 or 89? You know, because he was doing a hell of a lot of crossing routes. And he's 6'7". He's got what I call build-up speed. The longer he goes, the faster he gets, because those long legs get to going. And when you saw the highlight, him going down the sideline, you know, he runs like 4'7". So he had a hell of a day. And he's a huge target. He's 6'7", big target, caught a ball in the end zone too. So and then he took a shot down the middle of the field where he got drilled and hung on to the ball. Thought he had a hell of a day. I was really impressed. And I think that's good, you know, for Todd Monken and them, and then for the trainers, like, all right, you know, if Likely doesn't come back till week two or week three, we're okay. You know, we can get by with what we need. Is it Likely with his run after the catch stuff? No. But he can do all those kind of things.
Now, you said yesterday that you were looking for that player that's going to go, wow, look at him. Now, we've seen Kohler before.
Yeah.
So I guess, like you said, MVP of the offense, defensively, who was that unfamiliar name that made you kind of go, hey, look at this dude, rising to the occasion. Or Mike, maybe a younger player, second and third year.
Mike Green.
Oh, there you go.
Mike Green. I mean, Bob, I mean, on the kickoff coverage, he drilled it. Bam! You know, drilled a guy. And then in the 2 minute, with the twos, you know, but I mean, he didn't get any work with the one. But in the first, Richardson was the quarterback for them, and he goes right around, and, you know, I mean, basically could have tackled him, and they didn't call it. So, like, he wore out that tackle. I mean, the bend was beautiful. Then on the next one, they blow the whistle. He gets the sack again, you know. So, and then they put him on the left side, and it was the last play. And, oh, man, he beats that guy and just leans in on him. And he was right there in the backfield again. He was dominant there. It was like, holy cow. I mean, to me, Mike Green was the guy that jumped out at me.
Hey, Nolan, get in here for a second. We said who's going to lead the Ravens in sacks. And I think I said Oway.
Yes.
I'm going to have to start writing this stuff down. But I was 8 for Mike Green. Based on everything we're hearing about him, Nolan, I might have to, I don't want to jinx the kid, but I might look double digits if he stays healthy, knocking for Micah, for Mike Green to get in here, wreak some havoc. Remember, this guy was a disruptive force, had the off-the-field problems, which the Ravens did their due diligence to make sure were cool. I don't want to say they were cool because, you know, they're pretty serious allegations. But what do you think? 10 sacks all of a sudden?
No, it's not impossible, and that could end up being enough to lead the team. The Ravens, it's really been about the collective effort the past couple of years when they put up these lofty sack totals. I mean, last year, Van Noy had 12.5. Oway had 10. Those were good enough to be tops on the team, but I don't see it as impossible at all for the leader to have 10, your next closest guy to have 7, 6 or 7, and it just really be about the total collective effort. I mean, when you've got Kyle Hamilton in your secondary that can come up and blitz and maybe pick up a sack or two, it really seems like it's been about the entire group rather than just individuals. But now that Mike Green looks like the most capable pass rusher we've had in quite some time, maybe he could change that.
I think since Suggs, he's the most natural. You know, he's more natural than anybody they got. You know, maybe Van Noy in his younger days. But, I mean, with the strength, because he can bull rush. He's got strength. He's got good. But his bend is unbelievable, how he gets around people and stuff. And the thing what's going to be I think, Bob, that he would be the type of guy that maybe in the first couple games, you know, he has one and a couple hurries. And then as the season goes on, you know, more and more. And then he may be a guy in the playoffs that's when he really shines. But, I mean, he's a hell of a football player.
And look, Ravens got him second round. Is he everything you thought he would be, and then maybe even more, because this guy was projected to be maybe a top 15 pick a few months ago?
He doesn't have a problem fitting in the NFL because, you know, he was at Marshall, led the country in sacks, and then, you know, okay, how's he going to adapt? Did good job at the Senior Bowl, then how's he going to adapt here? And he just seems like he keeps getting better. And he's got probably the best pass rush coach with Chuck Smith. So he just keeps getting better and better and better. I mean, I think the kid, you know, I mean, if I'm going in and I'm Harbs and that and I'm watching him, I'm going over there. We got one there.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland joining us top of the hour. Get his impressions of yesterday's joint practice with the Colts, who were the standouts for him. Do have the Orioles lineup. Everybody buckle up. Jackson Holliday, second base. Westberg at third. Gunshow at short. Adley DH cleaning up. Jeremiah Jackson's in right field. Stop getting picked off.
Oh, that wasn't even close.
I mean, come on. Hey, Manzo's got him running. He got him picked off a lot, too. Mayo's at first. Moon Man's in left. Carlson's in center. Jackson's behind the dish. No, Tyler O'Neill. So there you go. If you're just tuning in, got his hand caught in the fence in a futile effort. It was a spirited effort, but futile, to say the least. Right wrist discomfort, MRI came back negative, but come on, man. And just as he was starting to percolate with the stick. Anywho, that's your Trevor Rogers, Ranger Suarez, battle of lefties. We'll keep you up to date on the score when the game starts at 12:35. But Cordell Willen next. Whip around left 15. What happened in the world of sports last night? ESPN's buying everything. Like, literally buying it. Did they just buy Odyssey? Do we not know anything about this? Did they buy everything? And then more talk about the Ravens and the Orioles. You want to get in on this Woman Crush Wednesday? The phone number is 410-583-1057.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.